I'm Reverend John McKinstry. I'm filling in for the Reverend Donald Hammond, who is away. And we wish to welcome all of you here this morning, and especially our visitors, and invite you to join us afterwards for a coffee hour in what we call the Jonathan Edwards Room. Are there any special announcements? I have one that I'll make. Go ahead, you can coming up. I understand Alice Wilmot is home after her surgery, and she is doing well. So thank you. Yes, Cindy.
The Growth and Fellowship Committee invites you to the annual Strawberry Social, which is next Sunday, July 8, after church, on the front lawn. So pray for good weather and come wearing hats.
Please join me in the call to worship found on the first page of your bulletin. Come, let us celebrate the triumph of light and life. Let's proclaim the world, the story of Jesus, in our prayer of invocation. Gracious God, who lives and loves through each one, meet us here today as we worship. Teach us in our time together to accept one another as you have accepted each one already. Let your church be the vessel of healing and wholeness, compassion and encouragement, strength and comfort. Have mercy on your church that we might with one voice give glory and praise to you. For this we are truly thankful. Accept now our worship as an offering of praise. In the name of our Savior we pray. Amen. Please join with us in our opening hymn, number 397. Oh, for a closer walk with God. Please be seated. The scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20, page 867 in your pew Bibles. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea. For they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. May God add his blessing to the reading of this word.
It's time for time with young Christians, and if we have any, I'd love to have them come forward this morning. I think I'll use this that can be heard better. I was preparing this service today, and I'm not in Sunday school, but I found out that I'm still growing, and there's a lot about our faith that I don't know. And I'm going to tell you a story. First, I'm going to read from from the Bible. There's a story that Jesus was out teaching, and people brought children to him. And the disciples were a little bit disturbed about that. They said, "Oh, get those children away. Don't bother him. He's too busy." And Jesus said, "Stop. What could be more important than a child?" He said, "Let the little children come to me, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Now, that's a beautiful story, a picture of Jesus wanting to be with children. I have one in this book. Let's find it. Can you see that one? See that? There's a picture of Jesus. He's holding out his hand to a small child to heal the child. And so I'm thinking this morning, you know, there's many ways to give pictures of who Jesus is and what he does. One is through the scripture we just talked about. Another is through this painting. And there's some other ways in which we hear about Jesus. One will be through the service here, through the sermon and so forth. Another will be through the communion, because Jesus took the bread and the cup and said, "Do this in remembrance of me, and I will be with you when you gather for worship." There's many ways, you see, in which Jesus is trying to reach out to us and touch us. One way is actually through coming to church and going to Sunday school. And I'm going to tell you a story. In fact, I found this out in our own church library. There's two books called Then Sings My Soul, and it has stories of hymns that we sing so often. And one of the hymns that it's in our hymnal, and it's hymn 307, I believe. It's called Jesus Loves Me. Do you know that hymn? Okay. Does anybody know that hymn? I'm sure we do. Let's sing it for a minute. Let's sing it to Irving. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. So there's that same picture, whether it was in Scripture, the one that we saw, the painting, but now it's in the form of a hymn. Now, I'll tell you a little bit more about that. I was looking at that hymnal, and I said, who wrote that hymn? And it turns out it's a woman named Anna Warner. And I was fortunate to live in a church and to serve in a church about 15 miles from here in Canaan, New York. And that's where Anna Warner spent much of her time, the Warner House. And so I can't believe it. You know, even the people in Canaan don't realize that they had a famous hymn writer in their midst. So I found out more through this book about who Anna Warner was. It seems that her father was well-to-do in New York City. They lived in a townhouse. But then there was a great depression in 1836, and they lost most of their money, so they had to go out to the country. And her father found a little small home on an island in the Hudson River near West Point. So Anna and her sister went there, and they said, we've got to help this family, our father, out. So they started writing books, and the books became very well known. And in one of the books, they wrote a story about a young boy, something like Irving, that was quite ill. And the Sunday school teacher comes to visit him. And the Sunday school teacher wants to give something for the young boy to hold on to. And so as he talks with the boy, he says, just picture this. Just say to yourself, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that's how we got the words for that hymn. And later on, a hymn writer saw those words and put it to music. So that's a long way in which we go. And there's one last thing I want to say. There's a beautiful thing that the Reverend Hammond does every Sunday. At the very close of the service, he has a beautiful, special benediction. In fact, I say to him, you know, the best part of this service is your benedictions. And what he says is, know that you are eternally loved. Know that. Thank you.
And now it's time for our morning offering. Freely we have received, freely give. Your offerings will not be taken. Oh, yes, one thing I did forget, the Lord's Prayer. Shall we stand for the prayer? Let us pray. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Thank you.
One more thing that I forgot to tell in that story that I learned from that book was that Anna and Sarah were great students of the Bible, and they loved teaching Sunday school. In fact, they got so that they were invited over at West Point to teach the cadets, to give them a Bible study. And not only did they start it, they kept it up for 40 years. And not only, they became so loved by the cadets that at their death, they both were given funerals with full military honors, and they're the only two civilians that are buried in the West Point Cemetery. And now for the rest of the story. Hear from the Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one does the things that you can do without God being with him." And Jesus answered him, saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb?" And Jesus said to him, "Do not marvel at what I say to you. Unless one is born of the water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born anew.' The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes. So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit." And then in the same Gospel of John, at the very end of the Gospel, in the 19th chapter, beginning with the 30th verse, we hear of Nicodemus once more coming to Jesus, but this is how he comes. This is after Jesus has been crucified, and it says, And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take Jesus and have his body. Nicodemus also, who had first come to him by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes. And they took the body of Jesus bound in cloths and spices, as it had in the burial customs. And now in the place where the garden was, there was a new tomb where no one had been laid. And so that's where they laid Jesus there. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Last week, I told a few people I'd be giving the service this morning, and so many of them said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I can't be there." So as I was preparing the service, I said, "You know, who am I going to preach to?" And you know, the funniest thing happened. The title of the sermon is Material for Christ. And you know who the material was? It was me. It was I who was being stretched, and because I had to give this service, I was learning more about the hymn and more about the life of Jesus and what it would mean to me. So the effort was not wasted. Now as he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Now that is a tremendous happening. Somebody really changed their lives, and it was Jesus. He alone mattered to them so much that they were willing to give up their security and follow him, even though they didn't fully know who he was or where he would lead. It was a leap of faith. So every time I'm reminded of the power of Jesus, who is able to change people's lives. Ordinary people they were, fishermen. They were not learned, they were not noble, they were not wealthy. You see, it's not so much who you are, but what Jesus can make of you that it makes the difference. For Jesus works with ordinary material. And that's how the exciting story unfolds. A clergyman once said, "I must confess that, I'll let you in on a secret, I often feel that I'm not worthy to be a disciple of Jesus. I often feel someone else would be better at it than me. Sometimes I think Jesus has made a mistake and chosen the wrong person. There's a whole side of me that says, why, Lord, did you choose me? Why not ask someone else? I'm not good enough. I'm not adequate." But concludes the clergyman, "But then I realized that that's the way Jesus is. He doesn't choose perfect people. He never did. He uses the imperfect, who are willing to point beyond themselves to God and to show what God can do in their lives." So Jesus doesn't call us to be perfect, but to grow beyond where we are. That is the kind of material that he can work with. We may remember that Jesus called Peter the rock. "Thou art Peter the rock, and on this I will build my church." But Jesus knew that though he was called the rock, there would be times when he would crumble. But once that rock is given to Christ as a foundation, see what he can do with it. The Reverend Phillips Brooks, a great preacher of the last century, once said, "As I was walking along the streets of Boston, I saw men laying a foundation for a new house, which was going to be built. He who was building it had the plan already in his mind, and was already building, and it's most interesting and exciting. But if the construction should stop, and not continue, you feel instantly how destitute of value of itself is the foundation. A foundation that has been so well built and then stopped short has no house upon it. How sad." I see a parallel in our lives. How sad it is to see a life begun on a foundation of faith, but then left unfinished. God wants to complete us. God, through Christ, calls us to the fuller, the more complete life. And oh, how sad it is when we let Christ's call be drowned out by the distractions of the world. Once Peter the rock was crumbling, he felt like giving up, like going back to fishing. But the gracious Christ called him again. He never gave up on Peter. Christ knew that he could build upon him and people like him. And the good news that Christ never gives up even on us too. But we, for our part, must be willing to yield the material of our lives into his hands and follow him into deeper commitment. In that other gospel story this morning about Nicodemus, we see a man who shows the beginnings of faith, but his life is incomplete too. He yearns for a deeper commitment and purpose, but he isn't there yet. He comes to Jesus by night. He's not really ready to be associated with the disciples. And Jesus tells him about the possibilities of being born again, of being filled with a new and larger purpose, a life-giving purpose. But Nicodemus isn't there yet. And his plight is ours too. We want the fuller life that Jesus promises, but we too want it on our terms. How subtly we are fooled into thinking we don't need the Savior. We think we are rocks, but there are so many temptations that take away from us the centering of our lives on Christ. But we too are also capable of crumbling, and our lives often remain incomplete. But sooner or later, we discover that the foundation can find its completion with Christ. For in the Gospel of John, we see that Nicodemus is growing. He's becoming a person of deeper commitment. Now he comes in the daylight and faces Pilate and asks boldly for the body of Jesus. Tradition has it, in fact, that Nicodemus eventually did become a follower of Christ and a leader in the early church. And you know, it's because in a real sense, Jesus is the resurrected Christ, the living Christ who can give Nicodemuses of this world another chance to be reborn to a deeper life of living for God and for others. It's never too late to find your creativity and your fulfillment. The other day I came across a painting by Grandma Moses. It was so childlike and so enjoyable. Here was a woman who started painting at the age of 76, and I'll be there soon. And she started painting, she said, because she could no longer embroider with her arthritic hands. She painted over 1,000 pictures, and 25 of them when she was over the age of 100. What kept this woman so alive and so vital? I think that she was one who was willing to yield the material of her life to something larger. The spirit of God's creativity was alive in her. And may we now allow God's creativity to work in us too, as we continue to grow in faith and commitment. Yes, it is amazing what God can do through us, through this material. He can work even through shattered and broken lives. Charlotte Elliott, who lived in Brighton, England, developed a very debilitating disease, and she was so crippled that she became embittered by it. She said, "If God loves me, why would he let this happen to me? Why has he treated me this way?" Her parents wanted to help Charlotte, and they didn't know how. But they heard of an inspiring minister named Dr. Cesar Millan, and they invited him over to dinner, hoping that he eventually would speak to Charlotte. Of course, at the dinner table, Charlotte ranted and raved and told just how she felt about God and shared her bitterness. And the family, of course, was quite embarrassed. But afterwards, Dr. Milan, in his quiet way, had a chance to talk with Charlotte, and he said, "You're tired of yourself, aren't you? You're holding on to your hate and your anger because you have nothing else on the world to cling to. And that's why I think, consequently, you are so bitter and so sour and so resentful." Charlotte agreed. She said, "Well, what could help me?" And the minister replied, "Why, the very faith that you are trying to despise. It's there to help you. God is there to help you." Charlotte noticed the peace and the contentment and the joy that that minister possessed. She said, "You know, I would like to have that same peace and joy that you have. What can I do? What should I do to have it?" And the minister replied, he said, "Give yourself to God, just as you are. Yes, with your fightings and your fears, your hates and your loves and resentments, your pride and your shame." "You mean God would accept even me?" she said. "Yes," replied the minister. And later, a favorite scripture of Charlotte's was John 6:37. "He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." So Charlotte did receive that peace and love that God offered her. And she wrote a beautiful hymn of gratitude, which was set to music by William Bradbury. A hymn that has changed the lives of so many. On her death, they discovered she had 1,000 letters of thankfulness that she had kept. And the hymn is, of course, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, I come." See what God can do even with our incomplete lives, even with our shattered lives, if we give them over to Him. Let us continue our worship as we sing "Just As I Am," hymn 370. It is time for sharing our concerns and for remembering those who need our prayers. Some will be spoken out loud and others may be said in silence. St. Paul once said, "We do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes with us." So I'm glad that God hears our prayers, whether spoken or unspoken. And I must confess that there are times when people mention someone from the congregation to pray for that I don't even hear who they've said, even if that person is standing in back of me. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. But what I want to suggest to you this morning is that if you have prayers for people, say them, and concerns, say them, knowing that God hears them, even if I don't. And we will try to incorporate everything into prayer. So let's have a sharing of joys and concerns. Yes. Excuse me.
A young woman who grew up in this congregation, Adrian Formel, has just had a baby girl.
Wonderful. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Let us then join in prayer. Holy God, bearer of the world's pain, look with compassion upon those who are sick and sorrowing, and those who are in our thoughts, both spoken and unspoken. May they know of thy love, and by thy grace be delivered from their distress. O God, our strength, be with those who are anxious and tempted and doubting. Guard them in their trial, that they may be upheld and patiently await thy deliverance. O Lord, our present help and promised hope, we thank you for all the servants that have witnessed to thee in this life and now dwell with thee in life eternal. Grant us grace to walk in thy way, that we may share with them the joy of communion with you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now let us continue our worship as we prepare for communion.
Jesus said,
presence of Christ, which you share in the community of God's people. Let us pray. O Lord, bless the fruit of the vine and this bread that we break together. May they become living symbols of your life, broken and poured out for us. May they beget in us penitent hearts and a new and quickened faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On the same night in which he was betrayed, Jesus was gathered with his disciples in the upper room, and after he had given thanksgiving, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also after supper, he took the cup, and after he had blessed it, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Now ministering to you in his name, I give you this bread.
Thank you. Ready for the last hymn?